Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work.
Hello and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Anas, and as always, I have my very culinary friend with me, Grace. Grace, how are you tonight?
I'm really good. I just made a really delicious pizza, and you didn't get any. I'm sorry, but glad that you trust me to be culinary.
You know, we have our own version of a pizza story. It's much better, and I like that pizza can be very uniting. Mm. And in this case, it would be nice if if I got some pizza tonight. But that's okay. Maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe next time. But yes, our pizza story is very positive. It involves sharing. There's no stealing anybody's half of the pizza. There's no argument over who paid for the pizza. It's a nice retelling of the pizza story.
It is a nice retelling. And it can have sausage or meatballs, but preferably meatballs.
Correct. And both vegetarian.
Exactly. Yeah. There's more to this. Maybe it'll come up sometime in the future. But yeah, there is a pizza story.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about pizza story tonight.
Well, sort of we are, like a little bit, because like when you say pizza story, I know what that means. I don't know if everybody else knows what that means, but I know what it means.
Right. I just don't say stuff just, you know, because I say stuff because it has meaning. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So we wanted to talk about, you know, within fandoms, you know, what is the meaning of a shared language? And the kind of word that came up, and I said colloquial, I can't even say it. Colloquial, I can try to say it. But I said colloquial, I can't.
Colloquialisms.
I think I'm saying it right, but it sounds wrong as it's coming out of my mouth, so I stopped saying it. So I said colloquial words. And you're like colloquialisms? And yes. So basically, you know, language, what does that mean?
So a colloquialism is a phrase that's not necessarily formal or literary, but it's used in familiar conversation. So you use an ordinary or familiar word among a group of people. So it's sort of, it's a version of slang in a way.
Yeah, it's like, slang, I think, is not as, at least how I think of it, not as
formal.
Familiar. But colloquialism is not formal.
Right. But I feel like there's a spectrum where like slang would be the most informal. Like colloquialism is a little bit more formal.
Okay.
Just how I view it.
Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, I think, there are certain words or phrases that we say that instantly the other person knows the meaning of. And it's only people within, you know, a certain community, fandom in this case, that would get it. And sometimes it's, you know, very narrow, and sometimes it's very wide and everyone knows what it means. And there's a certain emotion that is related to, you know, those words or word, and it brings a lot of meaning. So why do you think, you know, why is it so important within a group of people, a community, to have these words?
I don't know if I know why it's important, but I think I know why it happens, which is that, you know, communication among a group is extremely important. And just over time, as a group grows and changes and improves, there's a natural evolution of the language in a way that makes it easier and quicker to express things. So it's sort of like a streamlining things to improve and make the relationships more effective in a shorter amount of time. So, you know, to say something really quickly and get a lot of meaning across and create an emotional response without having to use a lot of words, which sort of reminds me of like why we have emotions in the first place, you know, to be able to communicate something very quickly.
Well, you need to be wearing your academic hat. But I was like, maybe not, but now like you really should be.
This isn't anything that I like studied though, although I guess it relates to my job a little bit. But like,
yeah, this.
So
the academic like meter was like going off the charts. Yeah. Yeah.
So like the example that I give a lot in my groups when I'm talking about emotions and like why we have emotions is, you know, there's many reasons, but one is that you can communicate something very quickly, especially if it's an emergency, like something that is dangerous. If you see the fear in someone's face and you hear them just say like one word and you hear that tone of that emotion, that communicates it more quickly than saying like, there is a tsunami right now, you should run. Like it's much faster because we have emotions. So I think for Wheel of Time colloquialisms.
Fade. Right?
Fade. Yeah. Yeah. Fade and fade. Like, right. Fade is something in world that was created to, it was a different name for a merdral, but it's shorter, right? Like, so yelling fade versus merdral, you have like one extra half of a second to run away.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's like you're proving your academician. No, I can't say it. I can't say words tonight.
That's,
the academic,
I'm sorry,
in you is shining.
You're a podcast host and you can't speak. That's good. I'm proud of you.
I can't. Yeah. Hey. I accept my limitations. But yeah, no. The fact that you talked about effective and efficient communication with like an emotive factor to it, how unlike our, you know, beloved Wheel of Time characters, where their communication is unfortunately suboptimal in a lot of times. But it's not like, you know, it's similar to maybe cursing and things like that. Obviously, that's a little bit different, and it's, you know, doesn't have that kind of, you know, communication where there's more than just one meaning in a certain setting. But yeah, I think having some of these words is special when you're able to share that with people around you and have them instantly recognize what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's just that feeling of familiarity, which is so heartwarming in our fandom and in any close relationship when you're able to just sort of say things or even sometimes not say things and just like share a glance or something. You just understand what the other person means. It just feels nice. Like you feel seen, you feel heard, you feel understood. And it's just a really special, heartwarming feeling.
It sure is. And, you know, our online fandom, or, you know, our group of people that we, love to hang out, we love to see everywhere. We have some of these words. So we thought, hey, let's talk about some of these. And I'd love to, as we, you know, as you're listening to this, as you hear it, share with us what your favorite colloquialism in the Wheel of Time fandom is. And we'd love to hear, you know, things that maybe we haven't mentioned or maybe we have mentioned and, you know, you relate to in a very strong manner too. Having said all that, and we're going to talk, you know, about some of these words and phrases. Is there one favorite word or phrase that you have?
Yes, I do have a favorite word. And my favorite word...
Is your favorite word...
Is...
On this board right here?
Yes, it is. So Anas is holding up his The Dusty Steve sign. And my favorite word is dusty. JK, it's Steve, obviously. Steve has come to mean so much. Like, I could just say the word Steve to most people in the Wheel of Time fandom, and it will elicit, like, a range of emotions from, like, amusement to frustration to nostalgia. Like, there's just so many things attached to Steve. Like, when I think of Steve, I think of, like, the first day we heard about Steve and how we had a live stream and we just talked all about Steve. I think of Phil Snowden, the actor, and I think of, like, how we still don't know who Steve is. So, you know, if somebody is like, you know, Rafe's answering questions today, and like somebody just types Steve in all capital letters in response, it's like, we know what you mean. You mean you want to know what that is. We still don't know what it is. And isn't it funny that we don't know what it is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you talk about the greatest mysteries of season one of The Wheel of Time on Prime. A lot of people would just be like, you know, serious talk. And like, you know, it's a poll going out, and the fourth option would be Steve. Because, you know, there is that, there is a strong connection with how you felt when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of that and all those emotions you described. But there's that, you know, the word I think of is like that goofy spoof kind of element to it that just makes it, it's not important, but it's just, it's like the most important thing ever, because, you know, that's because it's important to everyone around you, you know? So that's funny you said that Rafe is asking questions. When Dragonmount was doing their Rafe interview, and they, you know, they said, hey, submit your questions. The question I submitted was, will we ever find out who Steve is? I didn't want to know who Steve is. I asked if we will ever find out who Steve is, because even that is important to me. So, yeah.
It's getting to the point now where I don't want to know anymore. Like, Steve has taken on a life of its own, and it, I don't even need to really know, like, who it was.
I mean, it's like Nakomi, right? I mean, oops.
Kinda, yeah.
But, yeah. But, you know, people will know there's a certain character in the books that for many years, or 10 years, we wanted to know who they were, but it was always like, you know, it was never going to live up to, you know, what was in your head. So, yeah, Steve is like that, and, you know, long live Steve.
Yeah. Steve is a role on our Discord server.
Yes, it is. That's perfect. So I think, you know, that's a perfect start to this. And we're going to start going through our list. Before we do that, I mean, this is episode 23. That's important, right?
Yeah, I love the number 23. It's always been one of my favorite numbers. So it's going to be a good episode. I can tell.
Yeah. Did you, like, know this was episode 23, like, going into it? Or did you just, like oh, this is episode 23, like, just before we started recording?
Well, yes, I did, because you told me all about the Animorphs number 23 before we started recording. So, yes, I did know that it was going to be 23, and I mentioned it to you.
There is a long spiel that I went on and talked about many different things. The history of the origins of Unis's fantasy reading, and how Animorphs 23 is the best Animorphs. All right.
Yeah, it's too bad that we didn't record it. You all missed some really good history.
So we made lists, right? As we like to do here on the Lights Work podcast, we made lists.
I feel like it's been a long time since we've made lists.
That is true. That is true. Lists are fun.
I love lists.
You know what makes lists more fun is when the other person doesn't know what's on them. But that's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Are you saying this is not fun because we can both see what's on each other's lists?
I won't go as far as to say that. I think there's an added layer when the other person doesn't know what's on there. So there's like, you know, oh yes, you mm-hmm. added that or whatever. You know, it's fine.
Well, who's to say I don't have a secret list somewhere?
You have no idea how proud of you I am right now. Wow. You just play like a Trump on us card right there. Mm-hmm. That was very well done.
I'm learning.
However, I wouldn't have said it. I would have.
I know, but the whole point was to like tease you about the fact that there could or couldn't be a secret list.
I know. It's. I did say I am very proud. I am extremely proud.
Right.
So very well done. So let's, yeah, you want to get started? So what do you want to start with?
I think you should start because I volunteered Steve. So what's on your list?
Okay, I'm not going to use the strongest one on my list first. So the one I am going to use is Hardcore Fan Freak. And I think that is one a lot of mine are going to be Dusty Wheel related, just because that's the community that I've, you know, spent so much time in and relate to very strongly. And the Hardcore Fan Freak, I think, is not just Dusty Wheel, you know, related. It's pretty much everyone in our fandom to a very wide extent. But the fact that it was a theory land, it has a theory land origin, where that group of people was like, oh, those guys, they're hardcore fan freaks. The fact that when, you know, that's how we like to kind of define ourselves in certain instances, as in, yeah, we're not casual. Wow, I just used up another one there. Mm-hmm. You know? I didn't even have that on my list, but the fact that, you know, if you're casual versus a hardcore fan freak, again, you know, all types of fans are welcome. This is just a sort of emotional energy that gets shared when some of these people and words are being used are around, and it's one of my favorites, where you know, just people being very deep into certain things and being, you know, obsessive about things. It's very, very much a fun time that's had.
Yeah, and this one is not only a colloquialism, but it's an acronym. So you, on your list, you don't have Hardcore Fan Freak. You have HCFF. So even just typing those four letters, most people know what that means right away.
Yeah. Yes, that is. There's so much meaning to, you know, four letters like that. Yeah, I think that's. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I'm glad I started with that. Wow, you just added something to your list that will come to end. Nice.
Yeah, well, like it just makes me think of FFH.
Yeah.
So do you know what FFH is, Anas?
Of course, it's. I can't say this.
Well, we actually. What I think we is, don't know what it what is.
I have a thing like. In my head what it is, so I'm gonna beep it out. It's the cut,
you know? That's what it is.
I don't know, like, whatever.
Well, in any case, it's again FFH, you know, we all know that is what was the nickname for the place where Swan and Maureen meet up in episode 6, as given to it by people in the crew. So, like, we don't even know what it stands for, and yet still, you know, if we say FFH, we know what that means right away.
Yes. Now there's the mystery of certain things that makes them so just so attractive. Mm-hmm. Wow, you just used that one, like, right away, so it's back to me. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? All right, okay. The next one is, again, we're going with the acronyms, right? So the triple T, TTT. And this refers to Tank Top Taylor, the editor reborn, you know, so, and to say stuff like, you need a tailor to help you, like, you know, mm-hmm. like the fact that you use that as, you know, Taylor, who is, you know, the production genius behind the Dusty Wheel, who helped me this past week to help with some technical issues. When people, you know, mention those three letters, or mention having a tailor, or, you know, something like that, it's clearly to us, you know, knows what that means, that, you know, the person behind the camera who's, you know, running things, who's producing things, and a big part of our fandom, but not a fan. But that's, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, and it's just, again, that so much in such a small phrase, like a tailor means so many things, like tech support, emotional support, creative genius, you know, all sorts of stuff in just one little word.
Yeah.
So my next one is Bear Fire. Do you remember Bear Fire?
I do. So I don't remember Bear Fire as much as what you have next to it on your list.
Yes, which is Bear Brothers. So yeah. Again, like evolution, right? Like it starts as one thing and then it becomes another thing. So to me, yeah. I immediately think Bear Fire, but it came from the story that originally the writing team wanted to make Perrin a bear brother instead of a wolf brother. And again, in Dusty Wheel Chat, which is where a lot of these things emerge, I think. And it just occurred to me, you know, like the written word, you know, chatting, Twitter of Time, Discord. I don't know if that makes it easier to come up with these things or not. I'm a pretty visual person. So like the more I see something, like the more I remember it. But in any case, in the Dusty Wheel Chat, people started talking about bear brothers and making jokes. And I don't really know how it got to this iteration of it, but you know, someone probably mentioned balefire, and then suddenly it was now bearfire. And even further than that, I often now see the bear emoji and the fire emoji, and I just know what that means. And I don't know, it just amuses me, the various ways that people use it or the way that it comes up now as sort of a, we're relieved, you know, we're relieved that we didn't get the bear brothers, but it's still funny to think about.
Yes. But yeah, bear brothers and yeah, again, it's, you're right. The written word is important. And I put a couple in here right now that I wanted to throw out. And these are, you know, VOD Idol related because they're just extremely funny. So this is from the song Ileana from The Winner from 2 years ago, the first edition of VOD Idol, and how that mentioned Shady Grady and Justice for Drew as, you know, two hashtags that came out. And you know, I feel like whenever we talk about justice for something, Justice for Drew comes up as like a remembrance to, you know, justice for something like that. So I think it is kind of cool that, you know, you can use things that had no actual meaning, right, but there's so much meaning to us, and that's so important.
Yeah, I think for me, even more so, it's just now my headcanon that there was a servant named Drew.
And there was a
vase in the prologue to Eye of the World when Dragonmount was formed, that Drew was there and that he was beaten with Luz Theron's shoe. Like, that's just part of the story now.
Yeah.
Like, that was created by us, created by fans.
Yes, so true.
Okay, so yeah, speaking of the books, I was trying to think of, you know, a lot of the ones we've mentioned so far come from the show, from the Dusty Wheel, from our current fandom. But even before all of that, I think there were things that happened in the books that just got nicknames. So like, for example, the one I think of the most is the Dark Friend Social. Like, that just rolls off people's tongues so quickly now. Like, even in our episode last week, when Melindra was talking about the book that she started with in The Great Hunt, and she's like, yeah, my first scene was The Dark Friend Social. So rather than saying the prologue to The Great Hunt or the scene with boars, you know, it's just The Dark Friend Social. And almost anybody who's read The Wheel of Time, like, knows what that means. And I love that. And it's a great scene. And I love that it has that, you know, special nickname in our world.
It's a very awesome nickname. It's an awesome prologue. And I would go even further to say that the prologue has more meaning because we call it the Darkman Social for some reason.
Mm.
At least I think there is added meaning because of a name that is so well liked or used,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, used so much that it adds to it.
That's a really good point. I didn't think of that before, but all of these colloquialisms that we're talking about, do they all have more meaning because we use them so often? And like, those things become more special to us because of the familiarity and the frequency with which we talk about them. I think that's probably the case for a lot of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I might even say, to go further, that it might even alter some of the meaning associated with it,
mm-hmm.
but it adds meaning to what, you know, how you perceive it,
yeah.
or perceive it within in a community. So it might not, you know, it might be adding things, but it adds good things, good emotions.
Yeah, the Dark Friend Social definitely has a lighter feel to it than what, right, exactly. How it actually is in the books, like
exactly. I just feel like, you know, there was like, you know, there was hors d'oeuvres served and, you know, there was, you know, like, you know, it was just a, you know, there was like, in my, I have a headcanon in my head where, like, you know, the scene starts with a ball-like, you know, hall where people are dancing with,
like a masquerade.
What are those? Yeah, the masquerade. Uh-huh. And, you know, the... You know, the ball music is playing and there's a band and, you know, that's playing, and suddenly, like, you know, there's a shimmering of fire or something, and it's like that sign that, you know, the great lord approaches, and like there's like a record scratch, and then and then you know, everyone's like, oops, you know, this is happening.
Wow. Yeah. I have a completely different vision. Really? Of Dark Friend Social. Yeah, so I think of it as like a PTA meeting for moms of like elementary school kids, and it's like a ice cream social where they're like trying to raise money. So I envision like bright fluorescent lights and like folding chairs set up in a gymnasium, and like everybody's coming in with their robes on into this ice cream
this
social.
Is what we need. We need everyone to give their headcanon of what the Dark Friend Social means to them in terms of a, you know, a vision of what they think it feels like. For me, it's an old school ball, a masquerade ball. Grace thinks it's a PTA meeting.
Yeah, and Ishamael is the principal, the evil principal.
Yeah, yeah. And who there's one person who was supposed to bring donuts and they forgot.
Yeah, Balefire.
Balefire. So the next one I have is related very broadly to the fandom and the show. It's What Wednesday. Mm. Like, you know, it used to be, we actually got news on every Wednesday, and it used to be a What Wednesday, and Rafe was doing this, and the writer's room was doing it. And now, you know, What Wednesday's maybe not as much of a thing in terms of actual news dropping, because the Twitter of Chaos has dropped stuff on a random Tuesday a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, and there's Fridays that this stuff comes up. But we, as a fandom, will never let go of What Wednesday. We will always clown for What Wednesday. We will always be hoping for What Wednesday and news on that day. And What Series, you know, uses that day a lot with their drops. We've used it, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the things we've done sometimes. And I think it's very special to have that, you know, day of looking forward to and being like, you know, to adhere to, yes, something's coming on a certain day. It's usually around 1 p.m., right? Or no, is it noon? Oh, it's 1 p.m. Nothing's coming. You know, it's just that there's excitement there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Wednesday is now just What Wednesday. Like, every Wednesday is What Wednesday. Even if there's nothing special, like, you could just wish someone a happy What Wednesday, and that's just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Wednesday in the last few years has become my favorite day of the week. And there's many reasons for that, What Wednesday being one of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. So yeah, what's next on your list?
So going back to the books again, I guess I'll just keep in that theme. The Slog.
What's that? What's the Slog?
So some people don't believe in the Slog, but even if you don't believe in it, it's still something.
It exists.
It does. Well, it exists as a concept, you know, that folks have, you know, created in talking about the books and in people tending to agree that some of the books towards the middle are a bit slow, with the Malden plot and the Succession plot. And whether or not you believe it, if someone says the Slog, you know exactly which part of the story they're talking about.
Oh, I always thought it was like the part in like book 5 and 6 and the ending of book 6. No, okay, I'm just joking. Yeah, no, we all know what the Slog means, and everyone has a different interpretation of what that means. People always try to be like, people can have very strong opinions about this, right? I don't think either of us have strong opinions about this. I think we have, you know, have you ever played that game where you like have like two glasses in the middle and like you slide over to like agree, strongly agree, or like disagree or strongly disagree? No? Well, there's different ways of doing it, but like, you know, you do it at the same time. So this is like where we like wouldn't move to one side of, you know, we're not very polarized. At least I think we're not polarized, and you might just be like, I hate the slog. The slog's stupid.
No. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I understand why people think it's a thing. And I also think there's a huge difference between folks who are reading the books now and have a complete series to get through versus folks who waited for those books. I was a waiter, and I waited for Crossroads of Twilight, and I was very upset with Crossroads of Twilight. But if I could have just gone straight on to Knife of Dreams, I wouldn't have cared as much. But yeah, I don't feel strongly. I think I actually don't really mind the Perrin plot, but the Succession plot always puts me to sleep.
That is true. And personally, I am not bothered by Crossroads of Twilight as much as other people, but there are parts of, you know, book 8 and most of book 9 until, you know, certain things that happen in book 9 that I'm like, what are we doing here? But something about that, again, I feel like this goes opposite ways, but I just love the title, Crossroads of Twilight.
It's a nice title.
And I like the cover art of it.
So that makes it a better book.
It just does. It just, you know, even though, yes, you're right, you know, there's so many things, but yeah. The slog may or may not exist. It does exist within our verbiage, in our, you know, as something we say all the time. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Were you saying?
Oh, just that. Also, I feel like it's one of those words that I hear so often that I kind of forget what it actually means. Like, so I just actually looked up what slog means, because I'm like, I know what it is, but I don't know what it actually means. So if anyone was wondering,
the slog is book 7 to 10.
If anyone was wondering the definition of slog, it's a spell of difficult, tiring work or traveling.
I think Perrin would agree.
Mm-hmm. Perrin definitely went through a slog. Whether or not we did in reading the books is up for debate, but Perrin was slogging for sure.
Oh, I think we might be perceived as slog believers after this, because we just gave it credence.
I'm okay with that.
That's good. All right, so the next one, I think, is going back to some of the Dusty Wheel stuff, is Man Fear.
Are all of yours Dusty Wheel related?
No. No. Yes. Whatever. Okay. But yeah, the Vanfear. I think Vanfear is a great one. Is one that we talk about all the time. And I mean, there's art about Vanfear. There's animation made of Vanfear, and it refers to the innkeeper, Matt the innkeeper's undying. What was the words that we used? Devotion to the daughter of the night, Lanfear. And recently, with a lot of redemption at the 10th anniversary. But when they get 50K. I forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50K, yeah. That he will cosplay as Lanfear, which became Manfear. And it's just anytime anything, like, you know, there's something about that, and people just say, oh, Manfear will show up, or something like that, you know, and it's just used so widely in relation to that. And it's just a very fun addition to, you know, a favorite character of one person. Yeah.
Yeah, much like Steve, Manfear is now a Wheel of Time character. So in any, like, poll or, you know, question posed about certain characters, every once in a while you'll see someone say Manfear as an option.
Yeah, and a rather believable option for them, you know. It's like, yeah, I mean, sure, why not? You know. Yeah, so I think Manfear is another great one that we, you know, we talk about, that we mention. Something that, again, these are things that don't go away. And I don't think we'll ever go away.
Yeah. Didn't you try to find, like, the origin of Manfear? Like, who said it first and in what episode? And we couldn't quite find it, I know. So I know Nablus is behind it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the origins of Manfear. I've tried to look this up. I've gotten very close to it. it is Nablus. Nablus had called into a show about this. Yeah, so you know, this is like putting my acronym of, what is it, DWHA? No, DWHO?
Dusty Wheel Historian?
History Originalist.
History Originalist, okay.
Yeah, so putting that to test. I don't have the information in front of me right now. I've done some research. Mm. I have not reached my conclusion yet.
Okay.
So, yes, it there is an origin of Manfear. It does exist out there. It's there for everyone to see. And maybe someone listening to this can be like, exactly point out when it happened. But yeah, it was a seminal moment in the, you know, the legend of the Dusty Wheel, I think.
Mm-hmm. So my next one is snacks. So
you spelled it wrong.
I know, here, I did though. Spell it wrong. Snacks. S-N-A-C-C-S. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those words that's just a word, but now it means so much in terms of Alana and her warders is sort of the origin of it, and how we often see Alana eating something in the Wheel of Time season one. And I think what pushed it over the edge was the scene where Maxim hands her, I think, a persimmon or some piece of fruit in the hallway, just very nonchalantly, without even looking. She holds her hand out, and he's got the fruit.
Snacks.
So snacks and snack warders are definitely a thing now, and it inspired me to...
Are they?
They are. And I wrote an article about the snacks of time, and I talked about the different things we see that are eaten in the Wheel of Time season one, but really, it was just an excuse to talk about Alana and her fruit eating, because that's really the best snack example in the whole show. Then it's sort of like also the other meaning of snack being like a very attractive person, I think, sort of like wove its way into it. Yeah. Like Alana is a snack. Maxim is a snack. And they love snacks.
Okay. Yeah. No, sure. That is a layer. Yeah, that is definitely a layer that's there. I do like the fact that there is like actual cast, as in Maxim, as Taylor Napier, like interaction with, you know, him, you know, basically owning the title of Snack Warder now.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that that has actually, you know, infiltrated or penetrated the crew and the cast is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. And there's a Twitter account, Snack Warder. And so the people are just, you know, snack order is a thing now.
It is. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. I like that. Let's see. There was one I thought of just now, and it escaped me. I was going to bring up all the nicknames that the Everyday Negroes came up with for all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, you know, like Brother Book, Brother Sensitive, you know, I'm trying the best one.
Sister Strongjaw. I like that one.
Well, yeah, yeah. But Medieval McJagger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So Tom, right?
Yeah.
They're so good. And, you know, and then those are, you know, that's, you know, something that they came up while they were doing their watch throughs. You see it all the time. And, you know, Hamid, I think it was during Watt Island last year, you know, while he, you know, was on the show, and then maybe, you know, just interacting on Twitter, maybe had said something or responded to Brother Books or something. And it's just, you know, things like that where these words come into existence and they're so widely accepted and easily understood. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any of their other watch throughs. Do you know, like, is this something they always do when they're watching a show? Do they always give characters nicknames?
I have not, too. I think I may have tried one of theirs, so I don't remember right now. I would not be surprised if they do, because that is kind of like an MO of mm-hmm. theirs, and they're really good at it too. It's... Like they really nail it, mm-hmm. and
yeah. I mean,
speaking of nailing it,
what? Dordra?
No, I mean, I'm just not... yeah. Oh. I mean, I think honorable mention of what else?
I don't know. I was confused because it's not on either of our lists.
It isn't. I just think it came to me right mm-hmm. now that Dordral is, you know, again, like Darkroom Social, it's not it's not something that exists in that manner, but Dordral is a very gory, horrific scene, which is now Dordral.
Now it's so cute.
It rolls off the tongue, and it's perfect.
Yep.
So what's next on your list?
So I have Darth Rand on my list.
Awesome. I love Darth Rand. And then Jesus Rand. And Jesus Zen Rand.
Yeah, there's many Rands. So should I spoiler this, or should I try not to spoiler this?
I think we're total full spoilers. I think we've been very skirting the spoiler, actually being spoilerish. So mm-hmm. full spoilers.
Full spoilers. So you have now unlocked my secret list.
Oh.
So full spoilers is on my list of our colloquialisms at the Lights Work, because we have things that we've come up with that we tend to repeat a lot and very easily understand or joke about. And full spoilers is one of them. Do you remember how that one came to be?
I mean, you're asking me? How that came to
you? I'm asking you for the benefit of our listeners. I know you know how it came to be.
So when we did our fan casting live stream, it was going to be a full spoiler live stream because we're going to talk about, you know, all the characters. So I think something someone mentioned in our, as we started talking about it, you know, characters, someone said, oh, what's the spoiler level or something? And we're like, oh, it's full spoilers. We should like put that in the chat. And I'm like trying to put it in chat, and you know, I typed full spoilers, and obviously, you know, we saw it and embraced it, mm-hmm. and it is a emoji reaction on our Discord server now.
Yes,
it is pretty much what we say whenever we talk about spoiler levels now, and you know, full spoilers, because that's what it is.
They're not even spoilers anymore. They're just spoilers to me forever.
Spoilers. Yes.
It's so good. All right. So,
and it's so like, it's so much better when they're spoilers instead of spoilers.
Yeah. It's nicer, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this is part of it. It's just like,
I'd like to be spoiled. I don't like to be spoiled.
Is there there's a euphemism element to this, isn't it? Like making things that are kind of difficult to digest a little bit easier. Like Darth Rand, for example. Like that is a very dark part of the book, and it's terrifying, some of the things that he does when he's in that phase. But it's very easy to quickly explain which version of Rand you're referring to by just saying Darth Rand, because he has so many similarities to Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker in those moments. And Yosha kind of looks like Hayden Christensen too. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But yeah, so Darth Rand, Zen Rand, Jesus Rand, just...
I'm just thinking of like Rand now, you know, I killed them. I killed all of them, the women and the children. I killed all of them.
Thinking of him in the Aiel waste saying that he hates sand.
Exactly.
It's everywhere.
It gets everywhere. I hate it. I'm taking all my clothes off and running to Rudian. Ah, good. That's good. We unlocked the secret list. Mm-hmm. I like it. that's good. So my next one is a phrase, you know, this is one that we use in different iterations, but it obviously started with Lan, Daniel Henney, in the show saying, it could be warmer. Mm. And that is, you know, you could replace warmer with something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like when you put it in the written form in chat or, you know, Discord server or something like that, it's clear that what conjures up in your mind is that kind of raised eyebrow, like, it could be warmer. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's again another one from the show, that a certain phrase that's become, you know, there's more than just the meaning of what you're trying to say. It's there's that hotness element to it that comes with it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and Lan is also now Laniel, right? So Daniel Henney as Lan is Laniel. So again, we're shorthand, right? Like, we don't have to explain or say Daniel Henney as Lan. We just say Laniel.
Laniel, yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good.
So speaking of, there's a word for it, for two words that you squish together, you mash up, but I forget what the name of it is. But there's another one of those, which is Swarain. And that, I actually can't recall if that existed before the show. I mean, I know definitely folks reading New Spring, you know, you understood that there was a relationship between Moraine and Swan, although some people will try to tell you there isn't. But when you ship two characters, you often, you know, do that with
their
names.
So it's not Motom. It's Swarain. It's not Motom. Tom Rain.
I wish Master of the Deck was here, because I know she says it like 500 times during the shipping live streams that she does. There's a word for it where you put the two.
Oh, for
where you
for,
put the two names or two words together.
Oh, is it
portmanteau? Yes.
Portmanteau. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Swarain, you know, if you ship Swan and Moraine, you know Swarain. But even more so after episode 6 of season 1, there are a lot of hardcore Swarain fans out there. Or like, if you do a piece of art that has Swan and Moraine, you just call it Swarain. Or if you're talking about the FFH, you say the FFH is where Swarain went in episode 6.
No, Swarine, like Bryn. No, okay. I'm just trying to like think. It's just not as good. Swarain is perfect.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like the others don't even, like, can't even do a portmanteau. Or is that how you say it?
Portmanteau.
Mm-hmm. You can't even do that with the other matchups.
No, you can't. So that's why Swan can't. And Moraine are meant to be.
Okay. Let's see. On my list, this is a new one that's been going around a little bit, is and I like this because it means so much right away to me, is Theory Crew. So anytime anyone comes up with a new, you know, conspiracy theory or something like that, like 324 on Twitter, the hashtag Theory Crew. It's like, hey, where are my people at who understand this? Because a lot of people are like, roll their eyes and they're like, no, this, and they enjoy it. But there's certain people who, you know, like Bree and Kevin, and like, you know, they're just deep into some of this analysis, and it's just, it's newer. I love it when I see it. And it's, again, going back to some of that hardcore friend freakiness that, hey, let's geek out together about some of these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you part of Theory Crew?
No, I actually hadn't even heard that one. So I'm glad you mentioned it. And now I know.
Oh, really?
It is. I mean, I knew.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of wild theorizing happening on Twitter.
Yeah. You'll probably notice it now. It's used fairly often.
Is it a hashtag or is it just?
It's a hashtag. Okay, hashtag. It's a hashtag. Gotcha. So it's like, you know, like, did you notice that? Hashtag Theory Crew, and then, like, you know, all those people show up, and I mean, some people Twitter like that, you know, where they look at trend, you know, that I actually don't, but I still see Twitter has figured me out and knows that I like to see Theory Crew.
That's great. I can't believe that it's so good at doing that with the algorithm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but some people actually, you know, like, will look at, you know, Theory Crew and look that up. Mm-hmm. Kevin.
I feel like, yeah, okay, it's newer... there's one. I feel like Kevin is just Kevin is now in our Wheel of Time language. You just say Kevin and it brings up so many things. You could even use, yes, Kevin as a verb maybe sometimes. Like,
yeah.
So
like other people's names too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. I guess that could go on my other list too.
Yeah, it can. It does. You should.
It does. Okay, I'm going to add it to my list.
Actively adding another name to the secret list.
Secret list.
Yeah.
So the next one I have on my not secret list is Wheelies, which I believe was the nickname for the fandom that was suggested by the Wheel of Time account way, way back in the day. And nobody liked
really?
It. Yeah, I think they tweeted something and they were like, "Hey, Wheelies, blah, blah, blah." And people were like, "What? No, this is terrible." But I think it still pops up every once in a while. Like, I'll see people use it in like a joking manner. I've also seen people say like, "Oh, I don't mind it that much." But yeah, it usually comes up in like someone's just trying to be sort of tongue in cheek. They don't really want us to be called Wheelies. But things like that just kind of stick in your mind. And it makes me also think of Foldies from Threefold Talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, yeah. I think it was Rajesh that was just like, "Hey, Foldies, is that a thing? I don't know." And we were like, "Oh, we hate it. It's terrible." But then it just stuck. And now people who watch Threefold Talk are Foldies. So it's just interesting how those things, they stay in your memory if they're really great, but also if they're not so great, somehow they still stick.
A really good, you know, Tam joke. Tam joke!
Yeah, I wonder, like, I'm thinking back to, like, all of our episodes that we've had so far. And, like, how many times have we just thrown out one of these words or phrases and not even, like, defined it or talked about it? So yeah, Tam joke is another one.
Yeah, but Tam joke is another one. Like, it's not a dad joke, it's a Tam mm-hmm. joke. Yeah, perfect. Let's see. The one that, you know, I put on there that is used in a lot of different ways, and the one that was applied to me, so it like has meaning to me, is I was named the mod who is not a mod, you know, and this is, you know, when I became a moderator at the Dusty Wheel. But like, I didn't even know that happened. It happened, you know, live. Mm-hmm. There's a story behind it. But there's so many ways that you use the sword that is not a sword, mm-hmm. Kalimdor, and how people like to use that phrase and, you know, apply it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it all the time, and it's, you know, clear what we mean by that. Because, you know, if you actually think about it, the sword that is not a sword, like, what does that actually mean? Because Kalimdor is actually a sword too. But it's just the way it's used, you know, the meaning that has changed, at least to me, with the mod who's not a mod, is I found that very, very special.
Yeah, I could see that has a sentimental value to you. I'm trying to think of other times I've seen that, other than with the word mod, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
There are, I mean, I can't think of it, but it's like, it's one that you can easily mm-hmm. use so many times. I don't think there's one that at least stuck to me. This definitely stuck to me because it's me. So
Yeah.
I think are we just, is this secret? Is it only secret list? I have a few on my normal list, so you can do your secret list and I can do mine.
What if I steal one from your list?
Ooh, okay. It depends on which one you're stealing, because there's only two left.
Mm-hmm. I would like to steal August.
No, wait. You can steal August.
Why not?
I think, because it's the best. No, it's not the best. It is the best. To be honest, it is, I mean, compared to like, Steve is awesome. I like Steve. But I think August.
Yeah.
I think August now surpasses Steve in how much meaning it, you know, brings. So
August is so nuanced. There's so many different meanings to August. I love it.
You know, like the betrayal, mm-hmm. the longing, the anticipation, you know, August was, wow, how many months ago now? 10 months ago? No, it doesn't sound right now.
No, what is it?
It's a lot of months ago, April, 8 months ago.
So, six.
8 months ago, yeah.
6 months ago. 6 months ago, right?
What are you?
Nope.
The eighth month. 8 to 12 is four.
Okay, 8 months. Yes, so it's 8 months ago.
8 months.
I can do math. I'm good.
Yeah, so, you know, the fact that, you know, August, I don't think August will ever go away. I think it will always stay as a as a remembrance of, you know, what happened with the release of Origins of the Wheel of Time, or rather not release of Origins of the Wheel of Time.
I also just
or not Origins of the Wheel of Time, but yeah, the shorts.
Yeah. I also just love that if you say August, it means never. Like, if somebody's like, oh, when do you think that, you know, season two is going to come out? And, like, if you answer August, you mean, you might mean August, genuinely, but yeah, you also might mean never. Or you might mean, like, they'll say it's coming out at a certain time, but it won't actually. Like, it just has so many different meanings, and I love it.
And the thing is, it's, like, on its surface, maybe a negative mm-hmm. thing. And at the time, it was, yeah, you know, a hard time for us. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we now use it, we've gone past the trauma of August, mm-hmm. and now we accept it.
We have reclaimed it.
We have reclaimed it. And I think there are certain people who don't like it. I don't think it's I think it's not a lot, but I think most people love August. And I think I said this in somewhere on Twitter in replying to something, is like, I would have like the most deep thoughts about a poll. Like, I'd be like, consider the first answer, the second choice, the third choice. Like, really be like, huh, the first is good. Oh, the second has this. And the third is like, oh, this is it. And then the fourth choice is August. And all that thought goes out of the window. I click August. Mm-hmm. No thoughts.
Yep.
And that is the power of August. Mm-hmm. It defeats the rational mind mm-hmm. because it supersedes it. Mm-hmm.
I would argue that yeah. Steve does the same thing.
Yes. Steve 100% does the same thing. Steve is always the right answer. Mm-hmm. You know, the answer to the universe, you know, what is it?
Number 42
or something? Yeah. So it's Steve and August. Mm-hmm. Steve and August are 42.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I guess I only have one thing left on my list. I was going to end with August, but no, thank you.
Thank you for ruining it, Grace. Yeah, okay.
No. I have Dusty Pole. And I think, you know, you can use that in a lot of different ways. But, you know, when you think of a, you know, like someone messing something up, and it's like, you can be like, oh, he's dust, like done a dusty something. Mm-hmm. And that's this, you know, harkens back to, you know, usually a not a yes and no question.
Who is the best Forsaken? Yes, and yes, no.
Exactly. And, you know, when I've done some of these polls now, I've purposefully done dusty polls because people enjoy them. I think that's another thing that, again, happened a few times and just became a thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone understands it.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen so many other people on their live streams say, oh, I'm going to do a dusty poll, or, oh, that was a dusty poll. So we all know that means bad poll.
Bad poll. But a good bad poll now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So I'm done with my list and you're done with your list, but there is a secret
list.
There's
a secret list. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. How many do you have on your secret list?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then 8 if you include full spoilers. But I don't know if I'm going to share all of them. I think I should maybe just share a couple.
Okay. Okay.
So we already sort of talked about one before when we were talking about Kevin being a verb. So Grace is now a verb. If you're a listener of this podcast, or if you're on our Discord server.
Discord server. That's another one.
Did I just make a new one?
Our Discord server is the best.
It's so sad. It's like we're discarded.
We hate it now. Just give it time.
Yeah, we'll love it later, I'm sure. So on our Discord server, there was quite a lot of debate as to what the definition of grace was, but basically it's when you choose more than one thing that you are allotted, which came from our fandom moment of the week, when I frequently will pick more than one fandom moment of the week. So it started to be used as a verb. When people want to say more than one thing, they say that they're going to grace it.
Yes, that is definitely the way it is. And as always, this was, you know, Rajesh Morden, who came out with the, you know, so he said, grace, the noun, stands for simple elegance or refinement of movement. Grace, the verb, is simply and elegantly choosing more than allotted. So perfect.
So perfect. That is, thank you, Rajesh. Yes.
All right. I like it. And, you know, people use, I've seen it out in the wild. Mm-hmm. I've seen it
all, I've seen it on Twitter. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a couple others that show up on our Discord server are, I can't get used to it.
don't worry. It'll come to you. It'll come naturally to you.
That we have also made into reaction emojis. One is Norg Smort, which...
I love Norg Smort.
I don't even remember how... I don't remember the origins of that, but... I think a lot of ours...
It's a typo. It's a typo.
Yeah, I think a lot of ours have emerged from our Discord DM, which we're on like 24/7. And I think one of us must have just misspelled it and then it just stuck. Like, I think...
I felt like it must have been like so smart or something. Well, I guess we do that now. I don't know.
I don't know what came first. Like, but those are things that are, you know... internet wide, you see people like misspelling stuff or like memeable things like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it came from that, but I also feel like you might have just misspelled Narg, and like if you spelled Narg Norg, and then obviously it follows that Norg is smart instead of Narg is smart.
It's so good.
It's so good. We're sitting here laughing, and I'm just thinking, like, oh, like, is this only funny to us?
Hey, I am totally fine with that.
I don't care. It's our podcast, so too bad.
You better find it funny. laugh at this.
So another one we have is bad and sad, and both of these are...
Yeah, I have to say it right. Bad.
That was a really good impression of it.
Yes.
And then if it's what I hear, it's sad. So these are both spelled in all caps with two A's in the middle. So B-A-A-D and S-A-A-D.
And if you're wondering, it was after much deliberation how the visual and formation of these words came to be. So it wasn't just like, this is what it was. We, you know, had to sit down and be like, yes, there's two A's. It's not like the B is small. No, nope.
We had a meeting.
It's all capital. Mm-hmm. It's all capital letters. Yeah. And B and A-A-D. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like an hour long Zoom meeting where we discussed. It had to be. It was an agenda.
It's important. It's important. It is. But do you want to talk about it? Like, so I think we have to explain this.
Of course we do. Because people might not know. And like people see these things in our... I'm not doing it. I'm not in our Discord
server.
So people see these things and they
feel
might
like
not
this
know.
Is like the first episode where we're like crying of laughter instead of crying.
I think you're right. I'm about to die. So people might see these on Discord and they don't know where they came from. So this
see
came
them
from-
where.
I hate you. Just let me tell the story. Okay, so the Dusty Wheel has an outro. It's a song with a song plays, and then there's clips from many different episodes of the Dusty Wheel. And that in and of itself is a thing that many of us have like memorized and have like repeated to each other.
Sci-fi elements.
Put in chat. She just complimented my dress, and as you can see, I'm not wearing one. So yeah.
Bad.
So bad was said by Nablus in one of those clips. But for a very long time, I thought it was sad, said by Brian the Gleeman, and I don't know why I thought that, because Nablus is there on this, like you can see him saying it. But I don't know. That's just what I thought it was.
So I think there was this one time Grace was like sad, and I'm like, what? you mean bad? And then, like, we had, like, you know, like, reframing of our worldviews in that one. I was like, what? I got it wrong? And both of us had that moment there. But then I went back.
You were right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am the Dusty Wheel history originalist.
It's true.
It's true. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you were wrong there. But SAD came out of that and is now a thing.
Right. Yes. So never fear, everyone. In your darkest moments
of, there is redemption.
Screwing things up and being embarrassed by it. There's always redemption. Yes, definitely.
Yes. Yes. It's probably one of my favorite kind of typo-ish type things that we've come up with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad and sad.
I feel like I have to leave it at that. I don't know that I can really get any better than that story.
Wow. Okay. Is that your last one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think those are all great. I only had one secret one.
Wow.
And that's my favorite one. It's the lights work.
Aw.
Because the lights work is a phrase or, you know, words that are used by people. It was used by people before, but I see it all the time now as a hashtag, or not as a hashtag, in reference to, you know, obviously sometimes our podcast, but a lot of times just people doing nice things, acts of kindness, you know, random acts of kindness. another one there. And it's my favorite one because I think when we, you know, came up with names, well, basically you came up with a list of names and we wanted to decide what we were going to call our podcast, it was quite clearly the one that, you know, spoke to both of us, and we called it that. And we were talking about, you know, how much that means to us now in terms of what the lights work encompasses. And that's, you know, it's so great to see people using that out there.
Yeah, it's very special. I had definitely seen it used many times before. And because it was used so often, I just assumed that it was said a lot in the books. And fun fact, it's only said once in the entire series, and not in a good way.
Isn't it like the White Cloak or Massima is involved or something?
It's either, I think it might be Massima or a White Cloak, yeah. But I'm not sure. And they're talking about killing Aiel savages and saying that that's the light's work. So, yeah, it's not the greatest backstory to that, but I think, you know, we use it in a much better sense, and I've only ever seen it.
Maybe Jen can say that, you know, Jen.
Yes, our fan cast and for Messina. Messina is Jen is girl.
And you know, we have some redemption of what that sounds like. Maybe she can sing it.
I mean, I think we've more than redeemed it by now.
Yes, yes, that is true. Yes, no, of course. That was my only, I actually thought of all the ones that are probably on your secret list. I didn't include them, but I'm glad you did, because I think they have a lot of meaning to us, and of course we should share it with everyone, because this is a Light Source podcast, you know, like, this is what it's all about. So, I'm glad we did, and, it's gonna be funny, you know, hopefully people listen to this and they're like, oh, that's what they're on about all the time with their, you know, like, emojis and reactions, that there is like meaning to it. And hopefully we see it out in the wild too.
Spoiler alert, there's meaning to everything we do. But
there's always another secret.
Yes,
yeah.
Also, as we were just talking about that, I thought of like another reason why we do this that was very obvious that we didn't cover at the beginning, which is that it's funny. Like, it's just funny. Like, these things make us laugh. So, like, that's why we repeat stuff and play off of things and riff off of things because it's funny and we're having a good time.
Oh my God, it's so funny. It's the best time, yeah.
It's banter.
banter, yes. Oh, wow. Look at you moving up in the world. Awesome. Well, thank you. I think that was an amazing few words we shared with everyone. I hope everyone else likes it. But yeah, like I said at the start, please share, you know, maybe how you view some of these things that we mentioned and some other things that we may not have mentioned. I think this would have been perfect if we like crowdsourced some of these things, but I'm glad the stuff we came up with, and you know, people will now share some of their stuff. So I'm sure there's, you know, other communities that, you know, exist within our, you know, large community that use some words that we may not be as well versed in, and I'd love to hear them and use them and just understand the fun of these kind of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look forward to hearing what people think. I'm sure there's a lot of expertise in our fandom that we don't have, maybe sociologists and people who study language and words. And so if you have nerdy academic things to tell us about this topic, please let us know.
All right, awesome. So favorite fandom moment of the week.
Go first. You go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. Mine, again, is very close to home. I hosted the Dusty Wheel on Wednesday and had some, you know, technical difficulties starting the show. People could hear me, but they couldn't hear anything else. And I feel like I maybe wasn't as appreciative as I should have been just because I was in a, you know, it was a difficult place to be in, you know, trying to fix things and then actually do the show afterwards. And so the fandom who was there in chat, the amount of love and support they showed, not just by sticking around, but by interacting, you know, with each other, with a mute Brian on the screen eating burrito, and everything that happened around it, and you know, words that I had people shared with me afterwards. I'm very grateful and very thankful to the fans for that, and I think that is the best of our fandom on display. And so yeah, I think that was just, to me, will always be a favorite fandom moment for me forever.
I can't top that, so I think I'm gonna reverse grace it and say I have zero favorite fandom moments of the week, because that was just too lovely.
I can't deal with that. You need to, you know, can't? You need to,
like, why can't you deal with it?
Because the essence of you is more than one. I don't like this reverse grace, you know, reverse flash, you know, anti-grace stuff.
Basically, it just boils down to, I want to do whatever I want. It's not about numbers. Like, it's just me doing what I want.
Morden, Rajesh, we need to change our definition.
I guess so.
It's not going over the allotted. It's just coming up with your own version of that. Okay, yeah, well, maybe you can tell me afterwards what you were thinking of, I guess.
Well, if you want, I can think of a couple.
No, I mean, if, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so there's one is a general one and one is a specific one. So the general one is hype. There's a lot of hype right now for Watt Idol. And I don't know if it was this week that it was announced that the deadline was extended.
It was this week.
Okay, yeah. So that and just all of the excitement that generated, and also the fact that we're now even closer, but we hit 1 month till JordanCon, and now we're under 3 weeks now. So there's a lot of talk and hype about JordanCon and people talking about their cosplays and posting teasers.
Is it April yet?
It is now. Has been it answered. Is now April.
The answer has changed. The answer has changed.
Yeah. We can say that we're going to see everybody this month, which is pretty amazing. And then a specific one, which is also a more personal one, is jumping on to Threefold Talk with you on Thursday after your birthday party, which you were actually surprised about, which made me really happy, and I felt very accomplished.
Yeah. Yes, you succeeded in a surprise that happened. Yes, kudos to a surprise well done. And yes, I think jumping on that stream became something that probably I would not have been I wouldn't have wanted to do, but I think that the fact that there was, that surprise thing happened, I was like, hey, let's continue that and like jump on to and the fact that we did that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, those are wonderful fandom moments. Yes, Watt Idol is coming up. So excited to hear everyone's entries and just all the love we see in chat in and around that. Perfect. Well, that was an amazing episode. If future Grace and Anna show up, I don't know why I said my name weirdly there. If future Grace and Anna show up, hey guys, we know how great this episode is. You don't need to tell us. Right? Right,
Grace? Yes. Stop bothering us. We don't like you. We stay in the moment kind of people.
Yeah, we stay in the moment. We know we're cool. You don't have to tell us. Okay. Right. Cool. So if you like what we do, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at LightsworkPod, on Instagram at TheLightsWork. Join our Discord server. Sponsor us on Patreon. And it's now your turn to go out into the world and do The Light's Work.
The Light's Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Light's Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.